it's not surprising that famous people like to get a .com or .net, .us or other extension of their name in cyberspace. And not surprisingly, our current president, Mr. Donald Trump, is a large collector of domain names. In fact, he has over 3,000 of them. That's according to records gathered by CNN Money. After he started running for president, he bought 93 of them. So he had over 3,500 before even starting the successful presidential run. One of his domain names was TrumpEmpire.com. It had belonged to a Mexican cyber squatter, somebody buying domain names hoping that they would be of value. And certainly TrumpEmpire.com would appear to be in that category. Luis Jorge O'Brien Cova Rubias is a civil engineer in Guadalajara, Mexico. He bought TrumpEmpire.com for $10 in April 2015, hoping that someday he'd be able to cash in on that name. And of course, he was right. But no deal came around. So you snooze, you lose. He didn't bother to renew it. Donald Trump snapped it up in June 2016. When he was told about it by CNN Money, again, for just a few dollars. Jorge O'Brien Covarrubias, again, a civil engineer in Guadalajara, Mexico, got a little bit upset about that, upset at himself, because he should have kept the name. He said, "What did I do? He's rude to people," that is referring to Donald Trump. "He mistreats people. Now he has an empire in every meaning of the word." CNN Money investigated 20 years of internet records using domain tools, which tracks those kind of things. Of course, some of the Donald's domain names are obvious, TrumpOrganization.com and TrumpBuilding.org. But as a lot of people do when they get these domain names, they register names that are negative because they think someone may want to get that name. Verizon did that, for example. When they started the company, it was a merger of other telecom companies, as you may recall, several years ago. They registered thousands and thousands of names, including Verizon. I'm not going to say the second word because it's not something I say in polite company, but it rhymes with trucks. So Verizon, then think of a word that rhymes with trucks that isn't really too polite, .com. They registered that plus many other names. And Donald Trump is doing, again, something kind of similar. He's registered TrumpFraud.org and TrumpScam.com. He bought TrumpNetwork.com in 2007. He also has TrumpMultilevelMarketing.com, TrumpNetworkFraud.com, TrumpNetworkPonziScheme.com, and many others. So Donald Trump, again, I think he's being very smart about this. He's registering names that are not just related to his businesses and his empire, but that are kind of negative to keep other people from taking them. For example, nomoretrump.com, trumpmustgo.com, voteagainsttrump.com. Not surprisingly, he has makeamericagreatagain.vote and makeamericagreatagain.us. So many of these names. So it's a smart thing when political people and famous people in general acquire domain names. They cost approximately $10 a pop, and they can be used not only to prevent others from taking them and using them and maybe in a negative way, but for building part of your business identity. Domain names are always an interesting topic. If you'd like to discuss it on the air, or you have a question or comment, what do you think about the Donald and his almost 4,000 domain name collection? Send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com. Well, good morning, and thank you very much for listening to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, starring me, Adam Lepp, your friendly neighborhood information technology person. Hopefully you're having a good start to the month of May. Of course, we talk about many things here in the IT world, and one great thing about this show is we are audience participation, and that means that you can call me. In fact, call me right now. I'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. That is the telephone number here in the studio where you can talk technology topics of your choice. whether ask me a question about maybe your printer, which is not printing anything other than gibberish. Maybe your server is serving you trouble, and maybe your monitor is only monitoring your headaches. Now, the really good thing here about the Adam the Computer Guy radio show is that we solve those problems. Because, you know, technology doesn't always work the way we like it to, but that's okay, because here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, those things are definitely solved. I'll be joined by my Welsh correspondent, my longtime friend and business associate, Mr. Nick C.J., very shortly. We'll be discussing many topics related to technology, both here in the States and in the U.K. and pretty much everywhere else. And we'll even be able to take your telephone calls. Again, the number here at the studio is 740-383-9944. You can also send me an email, and you know, again, just like Hillary, we have a private email server, and that email address for yours truly is 740-383-9944. I would love to hear from you. Going to play a quick segment here about a new thing that Facebook is doing, which I think is quite an excellent idea. And then I will take care of some technical considerations because, you know, even we IT guys have to do that kind of stuff. And be back to talk to Nick about multiple, various, and interesting information technology topics. I would say that with the current political climate here in the United States and all over the world, like or dislike our elected politicians, I think that people have become more politically active, and many times that involves finding out exactly who is running your government. And admittedly, some people, even myself, aren't always aware who their representative or other lawmakers might be. Of course, here in 2017 and the era of immediate gratification and social media, there's fortunately a solution for that. Facebook has introduced a section called Town Hall, which lets you find, follow, and contact your state and federal representatives, at least those that have a Facebook account. So Town Hall can locate governor, state representative, Congress person, and senator, and of course the vice president and the president, or I call him the President-Donald, but I think we all know who the president is. To find Town Hall in your desktop browser, sounds like a really good feature. Let you, again, find out your elected representatives, assuming they have a Facebook account. Look to the Explore section on the left side of your Facebook page in a desktop computer. You may have to click See More if you're like me and you have a lot of entries there. There's no way to edit the list of items that are on the left side there of your page. So you can move Town Hall close to the top if you are going to use it often. In the Facebook app on mobile, tap the menu icon, those three horizontal bars, of course, and look for Town Hall. Again, click on See More if you have a lot of stuff there, like I do. For any given representative, you can tap Follow and or Contact. Again, contact your elected person. The latter option, again, Contact, varies depending on whether you're in desktop or mobile. In a desktop browser, clicking a senator's contact button might provide a window with his or her mailing address and phone number. Tapping contact in the mobile app produces call and visit page buttons. On mobile or desktop, you get two additional options for contacting local representatives, including email and message. So Facebook doing a good feature. Easy to use, quick and dirty, as we say, to contact a elected official on a state or local or national level. Have you used this new feature called Town Hall? What do you think about it? Adam the Computer Guy here with technology tips and other good stuff on my radio show. Broadcast every Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 9:13 a.m. and 10 on the Talking Place, WWGH. We're going to see if we can reach my longtime associate, Nick, via the magic and power of the internet. We can talk about various technology topics. Nick, are you there?
I am here.
Well, wonderful. I've tried a little
technology rigging upping, which I kind of thought of myself. I was working on it at my home studio yesterday, and goodness sakes, there you are, loud and clear, sounding great as always. How are things going on this fine May 2nd there in Brecon, in the lovely locality known as Wales, United Kingdom?
Very good. And we've got the sun out. We've had the rain for about 3 days, so we've got the sun now. It's very nice.
Can you hear me okay? Yeah, again, we're talking across the world by the power and magic of the internet. Obviously, honestly, Nick, you sound really good here. You sound like you're next door. You sound like you could be in Caledonia or Waldo or some other nearby location, which about 15 kilometers from here, about 8 or 9 miles for we stateside people. Does my voice sound clear over there in Wales?
Yep, crystal clear and no echo.
Well, that's fantastic. It's a magic. Amazing what a little bit of rigging upping can do, especially with an IT person like myself and the bag of tricks that I tend to avail myself of. I got here to the studio a little bit late. There was some traffic issues, but I have managed to get things working, get things spiffy, and we are now ready to roll. Now, coming up after this show, Nick, as we've posted on Facebook, there's a new show, and a new show is going to be temporary. It, of course, temporary sometimes in this business means it's going to last for 5 years, but you never really know. Radio is a business with a lot of surprises, and that's part of the fun of this fine business that we are in. It's called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, and good thing about that show is, again, grab your favorite coffee or hot chocolate or tea or other beverage of choice, but Nick will be on that show also. And, Nick, I think during that show we're going to be talking about the person I call the President Donald, probably about some of the Internet-related legislation that's gone through, maybe the privacy issue where your ISP can sell your browsing history, and maybe some differences between the different accents that people hear in the UK and other things related to US versus UK versus other parts of the world. And, again, we are on the World Wide Web after all. But in this hour, the good old Adam the Computer Guy radio show, we're going to talk about IT-related topics, which, of course, means information technology. I know, Nick, you had a couple things that you talked to me about over Facebook and things that are on the plate right now. What do you think is the biggest topic going on that's IT-related that's probably has repercussions all over the world?
Hacking, I suppose, is probably one of the biggest. The thought that none of your data is secure. I just watched a program this weekend. We have a program made by the BBC. An organization trusted the world over, apart from the Donald, who thinks that they are terrible and they're out to defame him. But it was a program about email security, and in the light of what happened with Hillary Clinton's emails and the thought that she was hacked, it was quite an interesting topic. It was a company that had invented a box, which, and I haven't got the name to hand, and it's probably better that I don't cite it in case somebody comes after me with a lawsuit. But they'd invented a box which was $199. I do remember that, and it was to provide perfect 100% security of your email. This is what they were purporting on their advertising and all of their publicity. They'd courted and discussed with presidents and prime ministers all over the world this wonderful new product. It was a little silver box connected to a network cable, and the concept was that it was end-to-end, so it encrypted your email at one end, you plugged it into the back of your router, it encrypted your email, sent it to the other end, and it was decrypted, and nobody else saw it in between, so it was perfect, 100%. Guess what, Adam?
Well, I'm sure there's going to be a good ending to this story. Security with email is a big topic, especially now with this web browsing history that can be sold. Well, we're going to talk about that later in the hour.
The big punchline is it's not 100% secure.
Is anything ever 100% secure when they claim that? That's always the case, isn't it?
Yeah, this one was big, though. And, I mean, this guy had been talking to governments with this product. And the BBC's hacker hacked it in 15 minutes. He then looked at the back of the little box, and on the back there was a MAC address, which is the sort of private address that every item on the internet has. And that MAC address told him that it related to a Raspberry Pi. So he thought this was very curious. So he took the back off, four screws, and inside was a double-sided sticky tab holding a Raspberry Pi computer inside, which is, for anybody who doesn't know, it's a little tiny, basically a little motherboard that you can buy, and kids use them for experimental electronics. Very, very cheap, probably $29, $30. And into that was a little tiny SD card, which holds all of your emails. And so anybody could open that, and also anybody could hack the code that was on the Raspberry Pi.
And you're a Raspberry Pi user. I think we talked about that a couple months ago. You possess one of those devices. They start as little as $5 US. That's about, like, I guess, $350 in pounds for the basic device. But, of course, again, it's just a board, as you said. You have to kind of put peripherals on it.
Yeah, I mean, they are crazy cheap, crazy clever in the fact that somebody simplified everything so that you can clip things on. The trouble is when you get a corporation that gets told by their technical people that they've built this wizard item, and then they try and market it globally as a super.
I'd like to let my listeners know, I am speaking with my longtime associate, Nick C.J. in Brecon, Wales. We're going to talk more about the terrain and the visitors from the animal kingdom that often happen upon his domicile, and a little later this hour also. Adam Lepp here with the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, live from our new studios at 559 East Center Street, Marion, OH 43302. And you can call me and you can talk to me and to Nick about any IT-related topic. The number at the studio, give me a call. I won't bite. 740-383-9944. Or again, send me an email on our private email server, adam@wwgh1071.com. And Nick will be back next hour also with as my co-host on the new program, which we're calling Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, where we talk about almost anything, but with Nick here, it'll probably be items related to the differences between the U.S. and U.K. and who knows wherever else. And last but not least, we are live on Facebook video. So if you're a fan of the radio station's Facebook page, well, first, gracias, danke, thank you, etc. Just go ahead and you can watch me on the video, do the show. Again, not that interesting, but why not? It's always fun, about 9:30 in the morning here in the United States of America. And if you're a Facebook friend of mine, if you're not, of course, I'd like you to become one. Look up Adam Lepp in Ohio or Adam the Computer Guy, and you'll see me live on video doing the show. Pretty cool. Wearing the headphones behind the board. I got more computers here than I can count. And speaking with Nick by the magic and power of the internet through a little system that I rigged up yesterday. And I tell you, he sounds like he's next door. So hats off to Adam. Yeah, clap, clap for Adam for doing a halfway decent job, at least pretending to be an IT wizard of some sorts. Nick, now there in Brecon, it's currently 2:30 in the p.m., is that correct?
Yep, it is. It's
sunny. Well, it's kind of cloudy here, but we didn't really have much of a winter. We had a very mild winter, and it was very warm last week most of the days, and I don't mind that it's about 50 outside. I like the four seasons. It's part of the fun. We'll talk more about this next hour, Nick, during the mid-morning coffee break show, but I guess you have some sheep and other members of the animal kingdom that may not be seen as often in the United States as they are in the United Kingdom make their way around your residence. Is that correct?
We do. I my telecenter, which is the name of the building that I'm sitting in, is a shed, basically, at the end of my garden, which borders my brother-in-law's land, and we've got sheep in the field next to us, which can sometimes be a bit disconcerting when I'm having a call with a sort of client in London or something like that, and suddenly they hear a bleating in the background and wonder what the heck is going on. And we have the swallows who come here from Spain and roost in our barn. And I have a charming little bird, which I don't know if you get in the States. I would think you do. It's called a wagtail. It's a little black and white bird, and it walks around wagging its tail up and down.
Yeah, I've not heard of the wagtail. We have robins and an occasional eagle. Of course, the usual blackbirds and pigeons, but I'm not sure of the wagtail. There is a wildlife expert who's often on after me with Charlie during our Thursday show. He would probably know. I'll ask him, Jim, and he was on last Thursday. I'll ask him about the wagtail because he's a walking encyclopedia of that kind of stuff. So if one of your sheep there needs computer assistance, does he say, or will you help me, Nick? Is that the way a sheep would say it?
No, not quite. But on the wagtail, they're the craziest bird because they like to come and use your wing mirrors of your cars as toilets and attack your, what we call in, or used to call in the UK, quarter light. Do you have that little... The little corner section of your window, your passenger windows, that sits on the right-hand side there.
Yeah, they've kind of phased those out in some cars.
We don't have the quarter light, but we've still got that shape to the corner of the window. Yeah, yeah, and they like to sit on your mirror and look at the reflection, which they presume is an adversary. And so therefore they then attack it, which leaves your car looking rather bad.
Yeah,
so every time I go out now, I have to clean my car before I go out.
Well, they should learn to use the restroom facilities, or maybe at least a litter box like the cats do, you know? Again, we are taking your telephone calls. You can speak to me and Nick, or you can speak to both of us. As you can hear, the call quality is outstanding. 740-383-9944, that's the phone number. Or leave a comment or question or complaint or other feedback on my live Facebook video, which you can watch via our radio station's Facebook page or my Facebook page. Or last but not least, send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com. So, Nick, we have discussed the supposedly private system for emails, which was hacked, you said, in about 15 minutes, and that's a little bit scary, but those kind of things do happen. Of course, we talked on this show about the legislation that the President Donald has surrounded himself with, where your internet provider, in the case of the station, we have Frontier, and of course, Roadrunner or Charter, whatever they're called now, Spectrum is also very prevalent in this area, and the internet provider can pretty much spy on your web surfing history and then sell it. They can monetize it. And I don't recall that the person, such as myself or the station, who is paying for this service can get a commission, that the internet provider keeps the money all to themselves. And I found pretty much everybody that I communicate with in the IT business, whether they be Democrat, conservative, Republican, liberal, or somewhere in the middle, or like myself, kind of all over the place, that they don't really agree with that. What's your take on that, Nick? And what's the general feeling there in the UK about this ability to sell the web surfing history?
Personally, I'm very against it, especially some of my browsing history. And also, of course, for some people who aren't as out there as I might be about my political leanings, people, the reason that we vote and do our ballots in little quiet boxes with ticking here with a pencil and poking holes in cards over there, it's the reason you have that privacy is because some people don't want a banner in their window proclaiming who they vote for and why they vote for them. And I think selling that sort of information, for instance, can be quite bad, as it could be on race, everything, gender, LGBT type issues. Everything is questionable.
So the general feeling is that people are not only against it, they're quite offended by it, and that's pretty much my feeling. I guess kind of like myself, Nick, your beliefs don't necessarily go into one left or right, that they kind of vary based upon the issue. But I don't think any IT person, regardless of affiliation or leaning, would disagree that, for one thing, they have no business even snooping on you, let alone selling this history as it is private, and keeping all the money, whereas doing pretty much everything they can to increase your monthly charges for service. It seems awfully hypocritical, and I don't think it's even legal. So I think this will be bantered about for quite a while, and no doubt will be one of the topics discussed in the next U.S. presidential election.
It's monetizing is always a problem, and I mean, we even have it. We have what we call rights, which is probably property tax or something like that over there. And that list can be purchased unless you specifically tick a box to get off it, which of course means that you get all the standard mail through your post box, and that list, it's a bit like the voting list. It has your age, whether you're married or not, how many people live in your house. I mean, even that data is sensitive. I think browsing histories and governments possibly can have a right, I think, with the raised terror threats and things like that that we have nowadays. Maybe there is a case for governments having access to it, but I think the monetizing of it is horrendous.
I definitely couldn't agree more. Is there legislation there in the UK, Nick, regarding whether or not they can do that? Is it illegal? Can an ISP get fined? What happens if, British Telecom being one of the big ones, what if they try to do that? And what would be the penalties?
I don't think that they would. At the moment, we run the opposite way around, that most of our ISPs, internet service providers, aren't happy to share their data with anybody, and that data includes the data of the people that are using them. So at the moment, there's, you know, the government have to demand if they want access. We do have a thing called GCHQ, and that is our intelligence gathering center. And there is a theory that if you say, the word BOMB on your email, that or something to do with terrorism, that will be intercepted by GCHQ. But it's not quite the same as actually selling your browsing history, I don't think, and obviously your preferences and places you've been. But some of that stuff that you're talking about there, Adam, browsing history, is already monetized, in the fact, in cookies. I don't know if you want to talk about cookies, or I will.
Yeah, you can go right ahead. But in a different way, though, because they're not spying on you and then selling it to a third party. It's part of your browsing. Cookies can be good, but they can also be invasive. So it's kind of a two-edged sword, like a lot of things are with the internet anyway.
Yeah, I was thinking of the two-way cookie that is a little bit invasive, where you go somewhere and it asks you to log in with your Facebook, for instance. So you go to an ordinary web page, you're asked to log in with your Facebook, you log in with your Facebook, and of course it then, if you've got it in your profile, it then knows your date of birth and says, hey, and while you're here, perhaps you'd like to buy a T-shirt with your date of birth on it, or your star sign, or something like that. And they're pulling out, just from the little, in the case of mine, 2807 or 0728, 1954, they're pulling out of that. And I'll often see an advert on the side of something I'm looking at with a T-shirt saying, hey, I was born in 1954, or hey, I'm 63, or hey, I'm a Leo. And you suddenly realize that has come from some sort of cookie or from your Facebook profile.
Yeah, I've noticed that also. And plus, if I go searching for something, maybe at a home improvement store, Home Depot or Menards being the two big ones in this area, and Lowe's, suddenly I see an ad for that store, or maybe a competitor, on my Facebook feed. And I understand where it's coming from as an IT person, but for someone who might be new to Facebook, it might kind of freak them out, because you're thinking, well, how does Big Brother know that? But there are ways of attaching what you've looked for and what you're obviously, things about your lifestyle, even your age, as you mentioned, attaching that and using it to monetize and sell ads that will be especially targeted to you. And that obviously gets the proper audience. Just like I remember when I was a kid, I watched sports and I'd ask my mom, why are there so many commercials for razors and for beer during the Reds games? Well, that's because men watch it and men drink beer and men shave. Well, that's correct. And just like when I watched Mr. Rogers, of course, Mr. Rogers, including our friend of the station and an annual visitor, Mr. McFeely, of course, it'd be commercials for toys and things that kids would like. So it's kind of the same thing, but almost in a modern way. Obviously, everybody watches sports, not just people who drink beer, but people who shave. But there's obviously a better chance you're going to get the right watcher. Just like with Facebook, if you go to Menards or Walmart and maybe you're looking for a certain item, you might see an ad for that pop up on your next Facebook feed, which is a little scary. But I think as IT people, we understand what they're trying to do.
Yes, yeah, we can see it, but it is hidden monetizing, isn't it? I did a Facebook ad recently to see how it compared to advertising, you know, on local paper magazines and things like that. And I was asked by Facebook as I placed the advert, you know, what age range I wanted, what sex I wanted to look at the advert. So if I thought only guys were technical, then I could choose guys. If I thought that, you know, older people wouldn't be into IT, then I could map them out and I could target it exactly. And then I could do a set of postcodes as well.
Go ahead, Nick. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Yeah, so, okay. So Facebook knew basically the targeted area as well.
Yeah, and it's just part of marketing. I mean, a modern twist on the idea that for Monday Night Football, well, of course, football being American football, football in the UK is soccer, as we call that soccer.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, whatever you call the sport, the one where the large men try to tackle and then try to run the ball 100 yards or convert that to meters, about, you know, 92 meters or so, to and get a touchdown. That sport that's very big here in the United States. Anyway, that ad you'll see during football were more likely to include beer or razors or cars, things that are of interest to people that often watch that sport, versus ads for toys or what have you, especially if it's a later game. And that's logical because you want to get the most bang for your buck when you advertise. And in your case, they're actually giving you a choice as to what the target audience is. So it's kind of a modern twist, which isn't perfect because you sometimes feel like it's Big Brother, but I think the good does outweigh the bad, especially as business owners. We want to make money from our advertising, not lose it. Want to cover a news. Would that be logical, Nick? Do you agree with me there?
Yeah, I do. I do. I was just going to put in, I sent you a link yesterday on Messenger about O'Neillauto.com, I think it is. And they've got a very, very clever little subliminal advert where they put out, or they've got other people to put out on their Facebook, hey, look, go to O'NeillAuto.com, and I'll double check the address before our next slot. But go there and look up part 121E, I think it was. And when you look it up, it's got a flux capacitor and the instructions that fill it full of plutonium and stick it in your DeLorean car, and you'll be able to reach the speed of light and time travel. And it was a very geeky joke, but it got people then to start looking at the electronics within their sight, obviously. So I thought that was quite a clever, very subtle way of advertising.
I would say that would certainly get some attention, to put it mildly. You are tuned to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice weekly feature here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1, on your FM dial, FM standing for frequency modulation, but here at this station it stands for Fantastic and Marvelous Radio. My guest today is my longtime friend and business associate and regular radio commentator, Nick C.J. from Brecon in Wales in the United Kingdom, where it's about a quarter of 3 in the p.m., if I'm not mistaken. Nick will be back.
Exactly.
I'm sorry?
Exactly, yes.
Yep, it's good to be precise. I was always a math geek, a geography geek, and as my friends know, I'm also a stickler on spelling and grammar. Just that's the kind of guy that I am. He'll be also joining me the next hour when we debut a new and temporary show called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. We'll be discussing not really IT topics, but anything and everything related to the world around us. Of course, politics always being a biggie. Maybe some shenanigans and rumblings there in the United Kingdom, and maybe some quirky and interesting news stories. And just like during this show, I am live in the studio on Center Street in Marion, and we invite your telephone calls. You can speak to me and or Nick, again, or both of us, 740-383-9944. I would love to hear from you. Your opinions are welcome. You can also watch me live on Facebook video. You can leave a comment or question, complaint or suggestion or feedback. And last but not least, as you know, we have a private email server, just like a certain presidential candidate. And you can email me at adam@wwgh1071.com. I'd love to hear from you. Nick, let's talk about this news item, which I'm looking at on CNN.com. The White House announced yesterday, so we're very up to date here, that President Donald Trump signed an executive order establishing an American Technology Council to help the government, quote, transform and modernize its digital services. The council falls under the White House Office of American Innovation, led by Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, a White House official confirmed to CNN Technology. Again, CNN Tech being the one of many websites that I use for stories for this show because they know what's going on. I'm also quite a fan of their on-air correspondent, Wolf Blitzer. I think he's an outstanding kind of old-school newscaster who tells it like it is and always has something interesting and articulate to say. Anyway, according to this order, which was signed by President Trump last Friday, the president will preside over the council's meetings. The ultimate goal, quote, coordinate the vision, strategy, and direction and advice to the president related to policy decisions regarding the federal government's use of information technology. But the order did not include details about who will participate in the council or when it will first meet. It specifies government heads who will be members of the council and notes that additional invitees will also be asked to attend. Do you have any thoughts on that, Nick? Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it'll maybe change the Donald's opinion about this internet spying that we've been talking about?
I think if it works, it'll be a great idea. I think the only problem with anything like that that comes from government rather than the natural growth from the community is that it's subject, and not that I would suggest that the Donald's government would do that, but it's subject to backhanders and favoritism, and that's the bit I'd be scared of.
The administration, Nick, will tap talent from Silicon Valley to participate in a summit. And that'll be in June, which is also the month of my birthday. In fact, my birthday is in only 30 days. How about that? The expert people that'll be at that summit next month will lend their expertise and ideas to the council. The event will include working sessions, according to a White House official. Now, some of the people that will be at this summit, heading up the council, again, related to IT matters, will be the Director of Strategic Initiatives, Chris Liddell. And Chris Liddell used to be Chief Financial Officer at both Microsoft and General Motors. One person who will not be attending will be Uber CEO Travis Kalanick. Kalanick had previously agreed to be part of Trump's Business Advisory Council, but pulled out before its first meeting. You think those are good choices, at least at the onset, Nick, for this advisory council?
I can't see why the Uber guy has been is not there, but Uber over here we get quite a lot of problems with Uber and their how can I say their conflict with what we call the black cab over here, and I presume the yellow cabs probably have trouble with Uber over there stealing their business and using technology that they were possibly a bit slow in adopting. So that's an odd one. I always think that the CEOs aren't necessarily the people to have on these councils. That's the big problem when you're having a debate. Are they the people, or do we need to be at geek level to actually have a proper debate about where we're going?
Yeah, I mean, picking people to be on a council, just like picking your cabinet members, will always invoke some controversy. And you know, that the one gentleman who was with Microsoft and GM obviously is an expert in many different fields. Travis Kalanick, as you might know, Nick, he pulled out after Donald Trump issued a sweeping executive order, the temporary travel ban on people from seven Muslim majority countries. And that's kind of how that came about. And of course, that's been a controversial item ever since the Donald took residence on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Bless him. Yes. I mean, some of those things I can see where they're coming from, but I think he's a very insightful president. And I think that it's difficult to know. I'm going to reserve my comments on that, the whole Muslim and restricted travel arrangements, I think. Well, I'm probably more radical than the radio station will handle.
I understand. Yeah, and as I said, Nick, there are things about the Donald that I like. It's often a case, not really what he says, but the way that he has carried about his promises and his philosophies. And understandable, this is his first elected office, but you are held to a higher standard as president. You are the leader of the free world, and no matter what you do, some people aren't going to like it. And it's good to get a perspective from someone in a different country. And we'll, of course, be discussing more of those types of matters during the next hour. One of the other news stories, Nick, has been the launch of the Samsung, I believe it's the Galaxy S8. And
yeah.
I guess after what we call battery gate from a few months ago, where the battery exploded and did some other things that were not very good, Samsung is looking to redeem itself. Any thoughts on that, Nick? Do you think they're going to, or will people permanently be disenfranchised with Samsung products?
I think they will be disenfranchised, as you say, because here we've had a great big push by Samsung. I don't know if you've been getting it over there, but lots of adverts featuring scientists standing in what we would call clean rooms, with the telephones being squeezed and pushed and bent and flexed and sort of dropped under water, and showing how superb a Samsung product is. And it was a sort of a slightly subliminal advert, sort of saying, hey, look at our product, not mentioning, hey, we've had problems and that's why we're doing this, but basically, look at our superior technology and how well it will last and how durable it is. And of course, the internet and the beauty of things like YouTube, where people are actually showing their own videos of these things exploding, beats all paid for advertising, because people tend to remember bad things better than they remember good things.
Yeah, that would be the case. I mean, but we do have to focus on negativity, because it is important. We like to put it behind us, and I think Samsung does make great products, but I think anybody who's been around technology for a while, like you and I, Nick, are going to feel a little upset about how things occurred, and hopefully Samsung can redeem itself. But like almost anything in this life, seeing is believing. We'll discuss one more item here, Nick, before we take a break for top of the hour features, and then come back with the new temporary show, Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Again, to my valued listeners, it's still time to chime in here. You can talk to me and or Nick, 740-383-9944. Of course, a big news headline, Nick, from a few weeks ago, related to the United Airlines passenger becoming depassengered, if that's a word, dragged off the plane, and he has now sued and gotten an undisclosed settlement. Do those things happen on airplanes in your neck of the woods, Nick? Do you think it was kind of extreme? What's your take on that whole incident?
Beyond extreme, I thought. I did hear that there were a couple of perspectives of the way it was filmed and reported, and you know, whether the guy should have stood up for a marshal, etc., when being demanded. But and I do have a relative who is an air hostess on that that company. So she was saying how, you know, she was giving me the other perspective, and not that I agreed with it, that that hey, they had to remove four people and they'd asked for volunteers and they needed them off so that they could fly four operatives to the other end so that they could then fly that plane, because otherwise a lot of people would be inconvenienced. Well, hey, from my point of view, I think that's called planning, we used to call that, and scheduling. And in the old days, you made sure your people were there. Not a case of throwing off a paying customer because you didn't plan properly. That's your problem. Perhaps they should have chartered a separate jet to fly there for people there and taken the loss. And yes, we do fly on very cheap seats, and planes make very small margins, but there's no excuse for not planning. And I think somebody being dragged off and losing a couple of teeth is inexcusable.
I guess the one thing that's IT related, Nick, is that it might not have even have been known that it happened, at least not to the extent that it did. It seemed like it was the biggest news story in the world for a few days. If some other passengers would not have filmed it and posted it on Facebook and YouTube and all the other places. And that's one thing we wouldn't have seen 20, 30 years ago, people getting out their phones and there you go. Even if it's an airplane mode, you can still shoot a video, and that pretty much explained what occurred. Is that, you know, we've talked about that. I've called Scott Spears during his show, which is on 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Thursday, and 10 to 12 in the late morning hours on Friday. Talked about how should people be YouTubing and Facebooking anything and everything that happens in their life. But would you agree, Nick, that in this case it was good because we needed to let people know what these airlines are doing? Maybe this was a good way to use technology?
I think it is. I think any of them, any member of the public reporting like that is good. It's not necessarily unbiased, but it's more for other members of the public to view a member of the public shooting that. It takes out the BBC Corporation or Fox News out of the equation. It makes it in the hands of the people reporting to the people, and they needn't do that by, I mean, that those clips did make your Fox News and your BBC News over here, but even if they hadn't, they would have trended on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, and they would have been reported to a lot of people. So yeah, it's the people having control of the news is the way I see it, and so I do like that.
Right, and there are always good and bad sides to almost every story, almost with Samsung, maybe because they had the battery gate issue that they've put extra care into making sure that the new Galaxy S8 is not only an outstanding phone, but one that will not have any battery problems, and they may even reduce the price a bit just to try to win customers back. And we always have these good and bad sides of technology. Nick, I want to thank you so much for joining me today, and Nick will be back next hour. What I'll do, Nick, is take a break here for news and features and messages from our valued sponsors, underwriters, and supporters, obituaries, which are produced and voiced by yours truly, and last but not least, teasers of past, present, and future shows here on WWGH. We'll be in contact, Nick, about 15, 20 minutes from now. We're going to talk on the new show that's being broadcast starting in about 14 minutes called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Of course, I'm Adam, so that means that I'm the star of the show, but Nick is certainly the co-star, and his perspectives are always interesting. Thanks again, Nick. I will talk to
you again, Adam.
I will talk to you again in a little bit, about 14 minutes or so. About 20 seconds here to the break. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, closing out the Tuesday edition of my twice-weekly radio show on WWGH. News and features up next, and I'm back after that with the new and temporary show called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with me, Adam, the computer guy.
You're listening to WWGH Radio.